You're listening to the King of the Four podcast, offering in-depth analysis on all things Boston Celtics with your hosts, Jim and Mike Quigley.
All right, Mike, it's been a long time, but we're back with another episode of King of the Fourth Quarter podcast. Since then, a lot has happened around the league as far as the Celtics go. There's been a little action in free agency. In is Delinano Blanton. O'Shea Brissett, Jordan Walsh is the second round pick. Out is Grant Williams. But the big news is the extension of Jaylen Brown, the max extension that's going to pay him, over the course of his contract, over about an average of $60 million a year. And he's locked up for the next 5 years. There is no player option in that, which was a win for the team. There are trade kickers, so I guess that was what the offset was between the two. But on the whole, I think this was the most likely outcome that he was going to sign this extension. I think this sets up some big decisions down the line for the Celtics, maybe in 2 years, maybe as early as next year. But I think on the whole, this is good news. There wasn't a lot of options, I think, that other avenues they could have really gone down. It would have been too difficult to trade him. And I think lowballing him would have set up a domino effect for the team that wouldn't have been good. So I think, where they are right now, if you look at their top seven, they're a pretty good basketball team. There's definitely some questions going forward. But on the whole, Jaylen Brown is back. It's a lot of money, but here we are. Also, good to talk to you again, Mike.
Yeah, nice to return to the podcast. It's been a minute, but not a lot of action for the Celtics this offseason, at least in a while. So it makes sense that we weren't too active. They didn't use a first round pick in the draft, and they didn't really make any splashes in free agency, and there hadn't been a big trade since the Marcus Smart trade. So, excuse me. I agree with you. This was the most likely outcome for Jaylen Brown. It's a lot of money. I think there's some pressure that comes with that, but I think he's the type of guy who can handle pressure well. But there'll be a lot of talk when he doesn't play well at points during the season that he'll have to respond to. And that just comes with the territory. And there'll be more eyes on him in the playoffs this year because he's the highest paid player in the NBA for at least one season. So when they play Miami in the playoffs again next year, and that's a series that he'll struggle in, of course, he's going to have to handle the heat. And I agree, the top seven, it makes sense that it looks really good on paper. And I agree, the top seven on this team, they should be really good, barring health. And that's their biggest question mark. Malcolm Brogdon, can he stay healthy? Kristaps Porzingis, can he stay healthy? Rob Williams, can he stay healthy? Al Horford, can he stay healthy? And those are big, big things going into the next season, how that's managed in the regular season, but also where the Celtics are when they hit the playoffs with those guys' health. And it's Brown and Tatum's team now. Smart's gone. It's really just on them as far as the leadership on the team. And they're going to have to rise to the occasion and get this team over the hump because it could be a short window with the amount of money they're going to be paying to two guys plus $30 million to Kristaps Porzingis. So it may just be these next 2 years that they have a shot with this current roster to win it all. And so let's see if they step up to the occasion. They're ready to go this year. And Brown can wipe off the dust of that last series and be a different player in the Eastern Conference Finals next year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kristaps Porzingis. The other move that they were able to do is extend him for two more seasons at $30 million, which was kind of a surprise that they were able to get him at that number where he, could have sought extensions 15%, larger than his previous salary. So the idea that they were able to keep him at a lower number like that, I think was helpful. And to extend him for two more seasons, you're right about the health issue, especially when it comes to Robin Porzingis. I know Porzingis was relatively healthy last year, but he has a history of not being on the floor. And obviously Brogdon's elbow is a huge question mark. I do think, you know, the two cornerstone players are guys that have had relatively good health throughout their career, and Brown and Tatum. Derek White is a guy I think you can rely on to be out there. And Al Horford, I'm more concerned about his age and wearing down than his health. And I think that's probably what more you're alluding to. He's going to miss some games as just maintenance days. But what is he going to look like come the playoffs? Is he going to be a guy that what we saw this year, which wasn't very good in the playoffs, his shot abandoned him, which is a sign that his legs abandoned him. You know, his defense was still a plus, but he was such a negative on the offensive side for the majority of the playoffs that it really, really hurt what the Celtics were doing. So how are they going to manage him, and what is he going to look like? But if you look at the top seven of this rotation as it stands right now, we've talked about the players already. It's Tatum, Brown, White, Rob, Al, Porzingis, and Brogdon. It's tough to, I think it's probably tough to find a better top seven in the NBA. Of just, they're all starter caliber guys. They're all guys that can impact, you know, winning on a regular basis. And if you can run that out in the playoffs, and I know that's a big if, and it's, they're healthy, you should be able to kill teams with switches on offense. You should be able to get plenty of second chance points opportunities with the size that you have. And that's really like the one noticeable thing that's going to be different in a positive way from last year to this year, is they're huge. They're absolutely huge at every position right now. It's going to be tough to switch them. Defensively, and they should just cause all sorts of problems, even defending the pick and roll, just because of their great length. You know, assuming they stay healthy, Mike. What I want to
assuming they stay healthy, and also assuming they play tough defense, and they get back to that mindset of being locked in defensively, that they don't take nights off, even in the playoffs. And that they are more efficient on offense where they don't turn the ball over. Because are the things that continue to plague them that they have to improve on.
Well, that's what I wonder if they try to address offensively, just with the size change. You know, are they going to, for the first time, something they didn't do last year really much at all, they got to punish switches? Are they going to find Porzingis on, you know, if you're playing the Heat and you have Jimmy Butler?
Are you still there, Jim?
Yeah, okay, can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I can now.
Yeah, so if you have Jimmy Butler out on Tatum, are we going to see a high pick and screen with Porzingis and get Butler on the post against Porzingis? Are we going to see them try to take advantage of switches? Because in the playoffs, they didn't really do that at all. It was a lot of isolation. It was a lot of, you know, move the ball, look for the first open three. There was no, you didn't see a lot of pick and rolls. You didn't see a lot of, you know, trying to find mismatches. So they're going to do more of that offensively. And if they do, I think it will help them quite a bit. The other thing I wanted to ask you, two things I want to ask you. With their size, and you know, it's funny, you saw it a lot in summer league. Do we see a change in defensive philosophy? Do we see a team that's more willing to play zone than they have in the past with their size and with their personnel? And, you know, maybe take some of the stress off that long season. And then the second thing I wanted to ask you is, based on where they are right now, what would your starting five look like?
Yeah, I hope that they have some sort of a defensive philosophy. That would be great to start. So whether that's based off size and they're going to play some zone, and we saw some of it in summer league, great. I hope it starts there. I hope going into the training camp, the preseason, the regular season, that they're going back to having a defensive identity and not just being so dependent on their offense. And we see less of the Mike D'Antoni ball, and we see more of championship-driven basketball where the defense comes first and the offense picks up throughout the year. That's the Celtics' identity I want to see. And I think zone is fine. You saw Miami make it all the way to the NBA Finals mixing in zone. You've seen the Dallas Mavericks win an NBA championship with size mixing in zone. And you can do that when you have a guy like Tyson Chandler and Dirk with that size who can block shots. So I feel like the Celtics have that now with three guys. So that is definitely something that they can do. As far as a starting five goes, I have to see Porzingis play. He's obviously starting, but I don't know enough about his game to start Rob with Porzingis. If Porzingis can get out on people and defend, then I'll start Rob. But if he can't, then my go-to starting five would be Al with Porzingis, just because I know that Al can get out on the perimeter. And then Porzingis can be my rim protector. But and even with zone, I'd be concerned about that, because he can still attack people off the dribble. So, but I got to see Porzingis play. If Porzingis can get out and defend people, I'm starting Rob, because I think Rob's too valuable to be sitting. But I just have to see, you know, what Porzingis brings his team on the defensive end.
Yeah, I kind of, to the first question, I think you definitely see more of the zone. I think you have to see a change in defensive philosophy. I don't think they can switch everything with the personnel they have now, or else you're going to be left with Porzingis and Rob and Al out on an island way too much, and they're going to be part of your key personnel. So I think you're going to see more hedging off screens and guys recovering and keeping their man when they're going man-to-man, which I do think builds some internal toughness when you have to fight through screens over the course of a season. It's going to lead to some open shots here and there, but you know, if played correctly, it can force some mistakes too. And I think, to your point with zone, I think their length and against certain teams, that could definitely cause some problems. You know, they can be huge at times based on the personnel that they're going to have on the floor. As far as the starting five, I've been thinking about this, and this is probably not the direction they're going to go. But what I wonder what it would look like if you started Porzingis as your five, Brown and Tatum, and then go with White and Brogdon, and then come off the bench with your double bigs of Rob and Al, and you can kind of keep Tatum with that second unit. And granted, I know Rob, Al, and Porzingis aren't always going to be playing together on the same nights, but you know what I mean. I think you come out with the offensive firepower, multiple ball handlers, and then you can really suffocate teams' second units during this during the regular season with that just size and defensive talent that you have coming off the bench. I don't know how Al would take that, but I do think
Al.
Yeah, but I do think that starting five is, if you went in that direction, is just, you have everything you need. You have ball handlers, you have wings, you have size, and you just have the ability to attack in so many different ways. But I think if you're an opposing team, that's a frightening starting five.
Well,
I don't know what your thoughts on kind of going small there.
My only concern about going small is just the mindset that we're setting as far as what kind of personality they have and what kind of identity they're going to have as a team when it comes to being tough in adverse situations. I feel like when you see teams go with small ball throughout the regular season, eventually they pick up an identity where they're not tough. I think you see that a lot, and that would be my only concern, that this team would be really dependent on just making shots, and then when they're not making their shots, turtling a lot like they did last year, not showing up to play. Where I feel like if you go with the big lineup and you build an identity around your defense, the offense will eventually pick up. And that's really, really where I'd like the focus to be next season, because I think that's where they were let down last year. When their shots weren't falling, they really didn't play on any either end of the floor.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem with this roster too, right? It's like it's kind of built now. It's still a team that is built to shoot the three. If you look at the way they're built, there's definitely a toughness void with Smart and Grant. How much of that is real? How much of that is perceived by what we see, as fans? We're going to find out pretty quickly. But, they've kind of substituted that toughness and mindset that those two guys bring with length and size. And so does the length and size, is that more needed for the defensive end as opposed to, the grit and toughness that, fans and commentators and podcasters want to see and talk about? So I'm wondering, is there a kind of a perception problem on what defense really looks like, what you need to do to get better defensively than what's reality? From my perspective right now, I don't think they got better defensively. I think, obviously Porzingis had a really good year defensively last year. It was with Washington. It wasn't in high-pressure games. He doesn't have a history of being that type of player. You lost a couple guys that, were good defensively and were really good. Again, were part of a really good defensive team just 2 years ago with the personnel that you had. So, with the personnel that you had, you could be excellent defensively. But I do think there's an argument to be made here that, there's a perception versus reality argument of what's actually better for this team. And we're going to find out. I kind of lead to the former, what they had. When we talk about just the defensive side and the playoff side of it. But I'll say this to Mike, and you can disagree or agree, whatever. I think, as I talk about this out loud too, they are a better team. We can say it's close. We can say it's not close. Just the value added of Porzingis. He's a much, much better player than Marcus Smart. Some people I know would make an argument that it's closer than you really think. I don't think it's that close. I think losing Grant definitely hurts, but he's also a guy that got benched a lot. So he's not a stud. Grant's a real rotation role player that you should be able to replace somehow. So I think, there's question marks about health. There's question marks about how their rotation. There's question marks about what the defense will look like and their roster makeup. But I think talent-wise, at the very least, they're a better team.
I don't have any argument against talent-wise. My concern is the head coach going to come in with the same philosophy as last year? And I feel like he saw something in the NBA Finals against Golden State where he said, we have to get better on the offensive end to compete and get over the hump. And they just went after it too offensive focused. And they lost their defensive identity altogether at the start of last season. They were winning games, but they weren't really playing any defense. And I remember watching games where they would interview Tatum at the end of the game where the Celtics shot like 57% from three. We're breaking all these records, and Tatum was saying, yeah, but we're not covering anybody. And it was post-game press conferences, and I feel like that caught up to them because they went through a lull during the middle of the season where they weren't hitting their shots, and I feel like that was closer to who they were than what they were at the beginning of the season. And so with all that talent, even without Smart and Grant Williams, if Mazzulla comes in with a mindset that we're going to be a tough defensive team, he can go small, he can go big, he can pick whatever his defensive strategy is going to be. Just focus on it. Just really spend time on it. Talk about it a lot. Make it the forefront of who you are. And let the offense come with time, because you have the talent on your team to be a good offensive team. Focus with the offensive stuff about decision-making at the end of games, ball handling, making the right pass, playing together as teammates. Not so focused on the analytics. And really, really spend some time on just being a good defensive unit. Make that the identity of your offseason, to say this is what we need to win the championship. The offense is going to come. And then, yeah, I think Grant Williams and Marcus Smart are replaceable, because the guys are going to buy into what it takes to win. If they come back with the same identity as last year, they're going to be at times where they're a lot of fun to watch. But when it comes down to it, they're not going to be able to win, because they're not going to be able to make stops when they have to, and they're going to depend way too much on the three-point shot. Well, I think those things need to change.
And that really comes to the point of, you look at the change in coaching staff, and Sam Cassell and Charles Lee. And Charles Lee is really the interesting one in all this, because he was over in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's personnel, at least size-wise, you know, Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Portis, is relatively close to the Celtics. And he was responsible for their defensive scheme and rotation. And, you know, they were pretty darn good for the last few years.
Was he the one who decided to leave Grant Williams wide open for an entire game, though?
Well, I mean, I don't know who was responsible for the game plan in Game 7. But over the course of a season, he's been pretty good at instituting defensive philosophy over Milwaukee. And you hear what players and coaches say about him, and he's been a head coaching prospect. And then you obviously Sam Cassell, who's, you know, been part of really good defensive teams, and also has really been credited a lot with, you know, just player development, particularly working with superstars. But I do think the addition of those veteran coaches, and if he allows them to kind of maybe take that responsibility in much the way that Doc Rivers did with Tom Thibodeau back in the 08 season, where Tom Thibodeau kind of took over the defensive scheme. You know, I think that would be, you know.
Man, we'll see. You're asking a millennial to give up power. We will see, Jim. I don't know. I hope that's what happens. I really do.
Well, I don't think Charles Lee takes this job without, and I don't think Sam Cassell takes this job as a top assistant without some assurances of the role that they're going to be able to perform. Because guys like them can essentially pick where they want to go.
How safe is Mazzulla's job if they're not a top five seed, you know, 30, 40 games in?
They're not a top five seed?
Say they're like a five or a six seed, you know, as we're hitting the trade deadline.
I think that depends on circumstance. You know, is health involved in that? It's tough to see them as not being a top five seed if they're healthy. It's tough to see them not being a top two seed. So if they're healthy and they're playing poorly and not playing for him, then I don't think there's a lot of job security there. But I think if they're healthy, it's the type of team you can roll the ball out and they're going to be a top three seed. So I just think that circumstances, it's unlikely. I think more to your point is, if they fall short again and there isn't improvements in the areas that you're talking about, whether they fall short in the NBA finals or they fall short in the Eastern Conference finals, and there's not improvements like you're talking about, I do think at that point, there isn't going to be a ton of job security.
Yeah.
But if they're, you know, if they're falling on their face by the All-Star break, which would be shocking, it'd be tough to see there being job security. But I just don't see that as a likely scenario because of the talent that they have.
It's interesting, too, because even at Jaylen Brown's press conference, he's mentioning we got to get better defensively. So I feel like even the players know, and they want to do it. You heard it from Malcolm Brogdon a lot in the playoff run last year. And so I feel like there's buy-in from the players that that's the direction they want to go. I just don't know if that's his direction.
Well, I think it's the direction of the team. If you look at just based on who they brought in for assistant coaches, I think they're trying to address this with size. You know, even the secondary free agents like Blanton and Brissett, a big, long players. Jordan Walsh is a big, long wing, and he looks like he can certainly play. And, you know, we haven't talked about him at all, but I think there's a possibility he even cracks the rotation this year. And then, you know, Porzingis had a really good defensive season last year. I the guys that kind of lost, Marcus Smart is obviously a guy that's big and can switch. Grant is not a big, long player. He's a good defensive player, but he is not a big, long player. So they've gone in a direction which tells me they're switching their scheme. Where being switchable isn't as important as it was in the past for them. To go along with whatever they want to do offensively and have those two things fit together. Whether or not it works, we're going to find out. But I do think, you know, they think the issue with defense was size. And they want to get bigger. And they want to cause problems for teams like the Heat and whomever else they're going to see. They want to address it with size. And they certainly, you know, on paper, that they did that. How effective that's going to be, we're going to see.
Yeah, so I agree. I think that's the identity they want to go, and I'm hopeful that that's what it is. I'm excited for training camp to start in a month. Celtics have one open roster spot still there, so we'll see what ends up happening with that. Maybe it's something that they keep void until the start of training camp.
Yeah,
they also have that horrible player still on the roster. I forget his name. He was on the summer league team.
Yeah, so they have three.
I don't see that guy making the team.
They have three non-guaranteed contracts. Blanton, you know, the free agent sign is non-guaranteed. Champagne is non-guaranteed, and Cornette's non-guaranteed. I'd be surprised
to see Cornette not make the team. I think he's a lock.
I think so, too. They definitely need depth. I think they need to add another big and another ball handler. So they can waive any of those three players. I think you'll see two more bodies compete for training camp spot that, you know, borderline NBA players. I think you could see a guy like Griffin return. They definitely need some depth at the four and the five. And I think they could probably use one more ball handler. But I'd be shocked if you're going to see a guy brought in here that we're going to look at as a rotation player.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening either. And I think Sam Hauser is going to play a bigger role next year, too. At least I hope he does. I thought maybe that's a guy you could use more against the Miami zone last year. So I'm excited for him and Gabe Kirchhoff
are going to get some serious run. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I'm excited for the season to start. I know on NBA Twitter, people are comparing Jordan Walsh and already saying he can be the Grant Williams replacement. I just tell people to slow down. Let the kid develop. He's a second round pick, and I think he's 19 years old. Let's not compare him to Grant Williams, who was an SEC Player of the Year when he came out of college in the first round pick. I think that the kid has the potential. You definitely see it, but I don't think there's any needed pressure on him. Allow him to develop, and he may crack the rotation this year. He may not, but that doesn't mean he sucks or he doesn't suck. I think. You know, he's a 19-year-old kid who averaged 7 points a game in college last year. So,
the one thing that stunned me, though, Mike, is he averaged 7 points a game in college. There's an offensive game there.
I didn't think he had
based off his stats or whatever. His shot does not look bad. He was able to create it for himself. I don't think he's going to be a star or whatever, but as you watch the summer league action, to me, for the Celtics, he was the only guy that looked like an NBA guy. And I agree, he looked like he belonged. I also thought that
Danson Bear looked like a guy in summer league when I watched him every year that was an NBA player. I just think we have to – I mean, we've seen Peyton Pritchard drop like 35 points in the summer league game. Matt Ryan go off. I think it's just like – let's just slow down and just see what he actually brings on a real NBA game. And, you know, I just feel like people with the summer league stuff, they just get really overexcited.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I the skill there that I did not know existed, and he's long, and he could certainly match up defensively already in the league. I think this is a guy that there's a reason why they signed him to a 4-year contract. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, they see something there as well. And this isn't a guy they intend to have on a 2-way going into this year.
No, he's on the roster.
I think there's, you're right. Maybe he's in the rotation. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's mostly in Maine. But I think there's a player in there somewhere, which when they drafted him, I didn't really expect that at all.
Hey, I hope you're right. I mean, they gave Semi Ojeleye a 4-year deal too. So, but I hope you're right. Celtics certainly got a lot of size and look better on paper. They stay healthy. It's going to be them, Miami, and Milwaukee, right? Isn't that what we're looking at next season, most likely in the Eastern Conference Final?
I mean, you figured Miami will have Dame. We didn't even get into that, and I got to jump, but that whole thing is stupid. And who knows with Philly? You know, the James Harden thing there is still looming, whether he gets traded or not. If he doesn't get traded, they'll be right there during the regular season, piling up wins. But yeah, it will be, you know, those will be your top four teams. And, you know, even if the Miami gets Dame, on paper, the Celtics should be the best of the four. But it all goes down to the points you brought up earlier, whether those, you know, things that have reared their ugly heads in the playoffs with, you know, toughness and defense and, you know, turnovers and isolation. Do those rear their ugly heads, or is this the team that matures and finally figures it out?
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will have another pod before the start of training camp.
Take care, everyone.